The Sunday Grill with Orla Rappel on Beat 102-103.
Well, my first guest this morning is a Southeast author through and through. Niamh Mulvey is a Carlow and Kilkenny bred author whose debut novel, The Amendments, has been shortlisted for an On Post Irish Book Award in the Newcomer of the Year category. And Niamh joins me on The Sunday Grill to tell us more. Hi, Niamh.
Hi, good morning. Lovely to be here.
Lovely to talk to you and congratulations. What a lovely way to end the 2024 with a Newcomer of the Year nomination. When did you find out?
I found out probably about a month ago, maybe 6 weeks ago. I'm really pleased. It's a nice way to remind people about the book at the end of the year because there's been so many great Irish novels out this year. So it's easy to get lost.
That is true. And tell us, the book is called The Amendments. Tell us about it. One of the characters comes from a book of short stories that you write. Is that right?
Yeah. So my first book was a book of short stories that called Hearts and Bones, and that came out in 2022. And in that collection, I had the title story, Hearts and Bones, was about a teenage girl who gets pregnant and then loses the baby very sadly. And I was just curious as to what happened to that character later in life. And a few people who read the story at an early stage were also quite curious about her as a character. So I just started to explore that question about what happened to her next, really. And that led me to writing a novel, because answering that question just, you know, it wasn't going to fit in a short story. And through exploring, you know, who she was and the kind of choices that she made, I naturally became quite interested in her mother. And that drew me back actually into the past, into exploring Ireland in the 1980s. And so before I knew it, I was writing this quite sort of big sweeping novel without really having intended to. It just kind of emerged, which was really lovely, actually.
So is it a generational novel? Does it go through generations or fixed in one time in these three women's lives?
It goes through the generations. It begins at this moment in around basically a contemporary, you know, time. This woman, the main character Nell, she is now in her 30s. She's the young girl who had lost the baby, and she is in a relationship with a woman, and this woman, her partner, is pregnant, and this means Nell has to face basically what happened to her as a young girl, and that then triggers the whole story, and we kind of come back into the 80s and move into the present time, and we also so spend some time in the Celtic Tiger era as well, which was quite fun to write about, actually.
Oh, I'd say so. And you were living in the UK when you wrote this?
Yes, I was. Yeah, I lived in London for 12 years. So part of it is set there also.
Ah, OK. And this is your debut novel, but you have been working in publishing in the UK. Were you the person who got to decide on what authors got a deal and who didn't?
Well, kind of. It's sort of a collective, you know, there's a lot of people making those kind of decisions. But yes, I was a commissioning editor in the UK, first in children's and YA and then in adult literary fiction. So, yeah, it was really fantastic experience. And, you know, I got to work with a lot of incredibly interesting people. And it did help me on my own journey towards becoming a writer as well.
And in what way did it help you? Are there little things that maybe, you know, people who want to write do wrong when it comes to handing in their work to publishers?
I think what helped for me was just, you know, over the years, reading so many manuscripts that were almost there, you know what I mean, and then, you know, trying to identify what it was that wasn't maybe quite working. And, you know, because as a commissioning editor, you're pitched and you're sent manuscripts all the time, and you have to make these decisions really quickly. And so I think I probably honed my instinct in terms of what makes a story work and what, you know, if something is special about a particular writer's style. So I think because I had to do that all the time, I kind of built up this quite intuitive knowledge almost. And I think that does really help me now in my own writing. And also I continue to work with writers as a freelance editor and writing coach, and that helps me help them as well.
And it must be like, I've interviewed so many authors down through the years, and there's always this, what you were saying even at the start, that your book can get lost in publicity and marketing, and the fact that Irish authors are so respected, but there's so many books out there. So do you have to almost become your own marketing tool with social media and everything?
Yeah, a bit. I think it's really kind of impossible to do it all, you know. I think, and most authors are actually not that good at publicity and marketing. Some are. No, there are some exceptions, but I wouldn't say that I am particularly. And I think you could probably drive yourself a little bit demented trying to fulfill all these roles of publicist, marketeer. And, you know, at the end of the day, you only have so much time and you have to focus on what you think is the most important thing. So for me, I try to write the best books that I can, and obviously then do as much as I can, you know, to publicize it, but not to get too sort of stressed or wound up about it either, because there's always, I find that publishing as an industry can sort of tend towards like doom and gloom, and people can, you know, get very easily disheartened, and that you know, that doesn't help with the sort of creative side of things. Mm-hmm. So it's all about, you know, accepting the situation that you're in and figuring out a way to make the best of it, I guess.
Exactly. And obviously an On Post nomination for the Book Awards is a great way to get your name out there as well. But are you now onto that difficult second novel that they talk about?
Yes, I am actually. It's proving not so difficult so far, much to my surprise. Yeah, I won't say too much more, but you know, the thing about when you have a novel out, by the time it comes out, it's been finished for quite a long time. So, you know, I've been with the story and the characters of The Amendments since summer 2020. That's when I first wrote that short story. So that's a really long time. Yeah, deep COVID. And I was still living in the UK, and I wrote it when I was back in Ireland on holiday. And, you know, so, and then I was with those characters for 2 to 3 years after that. And then, so it's really exciting for me to be stuck into something new and very, very different.
And when are you hoping that we'll see that?
I don't know. It's all very early days, but hopefully within the next next couple of years.
Okay. And you're teaching as well, aren't you? At the same time, you're teaching creative writing.
Yes, I teach. I teach online creative writing classes. Through an organisation called the London Writers Salon. I teach a 4-week course on the short story. I've just completed a particular course of that, and I'll be doing another one at some point in the future. And I also run my own mindfulness inspired creative writing classes as well.
Okay.
So.
Great stuff.
If people Google me, they'll find out all about that.
Okay, great. And like you were saying, you've returned to Kilkenny. You grew up part of your life in Carlow, but most of it, I think, in Kilkenny. Is that right?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
And you've returned. Have you seen a difference in Kilkenny since you've spent those 12 years in London? Is it a changed county and city?
Yes, very much. I think it's probably longer since I've been away, because before I went to London, I was in university in Dublin for a few years. So it's been a very long time since I lived here. And I think part of it is that it's changed itself. And part of it, obviously, I've changed, and I just appreciate it so much more than I did when I was younger. And it's just such an incredibly beautiful place to live with so much happening all of the time. So,
and
yeah, I feel
shops.
Very lucky. Yeah, the coffee shops, the festivals, castle.
Brilliant.
Yeah, it's just gorgeous.
Great stuff. Well, Niamh, it's lovely to talk to you this morning. Your debut novel is called The Amendments. I'm going to put it on my Kindle tonight. How do you feel about the Kindle? Are you a Kindle person or a hard copy person?
Oh, I'm both.
You're both.
I just go through so many books that the Kindle is quite handy. But I do find if I really enjoy a particular book, on Kindle, I will then buy it.
Oh, will you?
Just because I think the pleasure of a physical book is just undeniable. And if I really enjoy something, I'll probably want to revisit it. And it's just nice to have it.
Have it, you know, able to see it on the shelf as well. Well, if people want to go and nominate a Southeast novelist for their debut novel, Niamh Mulvey is the name you're looking for. The website is irishbookawards.ie, and that is the On Post Irish Book Awards. And Niamh is in the Newcomer of the Year category for her debut novel, The Amendments, irishbookawards.ie. And as Niamh said, she is teaching creative writing and mindfulness as well. If you look her up on Google, you'll find out more about those other things she does as well. Niamh, best of luck. Have you got the dress and all
Thank
sorted
you.
Out for the awards?
Oh gosh, no, not yet.
It actually looks like great cracked. Have you gone to it before in your other work?
I actually have. I've been twice with as an editor, and it's just, yeah, it's a really good night.
Yeah, it looks like really good fun. Well, enjoy it, and best of luck with that. That's irishbookawards.ie. If you search for Niamh Mulvey in the newcomer of the year category, she will be there. Niamh, best of luck. Thanks a million.
Thanks, Orla. Thank you so much for having me. Lovely to speak to you.
The Sunday Grill with Orla Rapple on Beat 102-103.
Well, Science Week is well underway, and a woman who will be at both the Wexford Science Festival and Waterford as part of the South East Science Festival. I shouldn't even call it Science Week, should I, Niamh? It is the Science Festival. That is Dr. Niamh Shaw. She's an Irish engineer, scientist, explorer. She's a writer. She was once an actress. You've done so much with your career, Dr. Shaw, but she joins me on the show this morning, and you're very welcome back to the Sunday Grill.
Thank you.
We've had great conversations in the past.
Yeah, we have.
I think the last time we spoke, though, was pre-COVID when you were doing the Mars simulation. Would that be right?
Yeah, that would be right. Gosh, my, lots has happened since, hasn't it?
Yes.
The old pandemic. Wow.
Yes. Mm. How was your pandemic experience?
It was okay. I ended up moving to France for a while.
Lovely, as you do.
Yeah, and then I came back then. I actually met my husband.
Wow.
I was single.
You should have said that first, Niamh.
Yeah, I did. I met my husband during the pandemic. So there you go. You never know.
And is the husband from France?
No, he's American. So we were both working on the Road Space Nuts, and we were both contributing to the Space Studies program for the summer. So we were in Granada and we got to know each other. And then it was only after the program that we kind of, you know, it became romantic. But yeah.
Lovely.
And then we were married within 18 months.
Now, there you go. That was a big change during COVID. One of those stories, eh?
Yeah, wouldn't have happened without COVID, I don't think.
No, see? How would you describe yourself? Because you've just said they're science nut. How would you sum up what your career is right now, Niamh?
I think essentially I try to make science relatable. So I try to go off on adventures that are always scientific and bring them back and describe them in a kind of a human way so that people understand what that feels like to have those kind of adventures that are deeply rooted in science and always about the planet, you know. And so whether it's a space adventure or it's to the Antarctic or it's a simulated Mars mission, the common theme in everything now is to try and break down that whole difficult message around climate change and get people to think and see it differently.
And when you say at the start, when it's about the planet, was that always climate change, as you just said, or is that something that's become much more in the front of your work in the last few years?
I think it always was. I just wouldn't have put a label on it, you know. So, like, when I did that simulated Mars mission, when we were talking about it, like, one of the things that happened that I hadn't really thought about was when you have limited water and you have no kind of infrastructure, no shops, no towns, no phones or anything, you adapt very quickly. And then when I went back into the real world, I never forgot how valuable water is. Mm. And I never forgot that I missed none of my personal items. And so my connection to personal items changed. I didn't want to hold on to things anymore, which is how I ended up being able to move to France, because I gave everything away. And that's never really left. And I started seeing that space, in order to survive in space, you have to live with limited water, you know, with a ration of food, you know, manufactured oxygen. And so you kind of start to appreciate the resources that you have. And when you appreciate the resources that you have, you automatically go to climate change and sustainability. So it kind of just, it naturally evolved, really. And so when, you know, I have to say, when I report from space, It's the ultimate adventure and the ultimate perspective of Earth from a distance, which should help us reflect on taking better care of each other, but also realizing the planet's going to be around forever. We may not be, though, you know.
Yes, yes.
You know?
Tell us about the reporting from space, because that's the ultimate, isn't it?
That's the ultimate one, yeah. And like, so all my career, you know, I have always had a gift of being able to write and always the gift of being able to get people to connect and join me on my adventures. And so, you know, my fascination for space has always been about seeing the Earth on its own. You know what I mean? Like seeing it where you see the clouds from the top down, as opposed, like, we see them from the bottom up. Mm-hmm. I want to see them from the top down. And I want to be able to see
all of Earth in kind of one eyeful. Like, that's the absolute dream. And then the more I started reading about that, so many astronauts were like really affected by that view and made them kind of go, wow, you know, we're just all in this together. And there's no countries, there's no towns, there's no streets. It's just like land from that distance. So, you know, the more you zoom out of your life, the more you kind of start to see, you know, yourself as part of a much bigger community, which is the human species. And how that started for me was when I was writing, I think, my second show, I was thinking about this perspective, this thing about zooming out. And it started from when I was in school. I grew up in Dundalk and, you know, wanted a boyfriend. And so all the cool boys hung out in Dundalk Shopping Centre. So that was like the most important place in the world. And then, you know, a year into college in Dublin, I remember going back the next summer to the same shopping centre and kind of going, gosh, yeah, this used to be like the centre of my life.
Yeah.
And then you go travelling and then Ireland becomes a very precious place and you come back. And so when you travel, when you kind of have a chance to separate yourself from a place, you change your relationship with it and you change your perspective of what's important. And going to space does that all the time. Okay. And so even a simulated Mars mission did it for me. So I can only imagine what it would be like for me to have that ultimate experience and come back and talk about it the way I talk about all the other adventures. Yeah, that's the dream.
And how close are you getting to fulfilling that dream?
Still working on it. Okay. I'm coming at it from the work of a reporter, of the writer, of the communicator, mm-hmm. and building my accolades that way. And you know, I seem to be gaining some good traction on that. I report, you know, for all the national media now and BBC and Sky News, and I...
this is your job now.
Yeah, and I have a media pass to, you know, to attend launches from NASA.
Oh,
and,
nice.
And you know, so I report a lot and write a lot. So, yeah, it's coming together. You know, it's still, you know, we still have a long way to go, but that's the destination. It doesn't necessarily, you know, it's not that it's stuck on a time. There's no kind of deadline on it, but that's the ultimate reporting piece that I want to do.
And look where that dream has got you along the way. So a lot of the time it's about the journey, isn't it?
It's always about the journey. I think it's always about the people you meet along the way in the journey. And I think if you focus too much on the destination, you miss the detail. And also, I think you miss the whole point of it. Mm-hmm. You know, you've got to be flexible. You've got to have your destination in mind, but you have to allow yourself be affected by the things that are going around you. I mean, so many extra things have happened by just like kind of committing to this, you know. Mm-hmm. And the other thing, Orla, is about, it's about breaking down barriers for me around, you know, what you decide your life is, you know. And so I grew up in a, you know, a modest estate in Dundalk, and you know, when I interview astronauts, you know, they always kind of dreamt big and they always aspired for great things. That's not necessarily the background I had. Mm-hmm. And when in my 40s I remembered my passion for space, I was like, yeah, why is that? Like, why is it some of us have no problem like setting big goals and other of us kind of struggle? And so at the time, it was an artistic kind of task that I was setting myself. Like, well, what happens if I actually kind of decide I want to go to space? And I thought it was going to just be a show, but it ended up kind of becoming the whole direction of my life now. And I'm still on that journey. And so it's as much about sharing the science as it is about kind of asking people, are you sure you know what you want to do with your life? Like, what did you dream of being? And if you haven't achieved it, are you happy with that? And if not, what's stopping you? And be careful mm-hmm. of the stories you're telling yourself.
Exactly. And that doesn't necessarily have to be your career even. It can be in
what
you do outside of your career as well.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Everything.
We better tell people what you're doing for Science Festival, because it's quite quite important. And also, you have a lovely connection to my hometown of Goree in County Wexford when it comes to STEM. Yeah. Will we tell people about that first?
Definitely. So last year I got to go to Antarctica on a voyage for women in science or STEM. And I was selected. I was the sixth cohort to be involved to do it. They bring 100 women from science every year on an expedition, and I went to the Antarctic, and I really...